Some women get burned by the fire and some women rise from it. Welcome to the Born to Rise Society podcast with Laura Sanzo, where goddesses come to rise and go from survivor mode to creation mode. Are you ready, goddess? Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Born to Rise Society podcast with your host, Laura Sanzo. I'm Laura Sanzo. I'm so excited to be sitting down today with Dee Gretler. She is a certified neuro coach who works with women over 40, which I love because I'm over 40, overcome their limiting beliefs. So welcome, Dee.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good.
So before I get into things, I really want to get into the whole ideology of women over 40, because obviously women over 40, the work they're going to have to do on themselves is going to look a lot different than somebody that is a millennial or a lot younger. We just have more years to carry more baggage and, you know, experiences to set us back and that kind of thing. But before we get into that and the work that you do, this podcast is really about women who've overcome their adversity to rise. Can you just give us a little sneak peek into, you know, what your journey has looked like and really what has brought you to this point of going into coaching and really serving other women?
Well, I knew that I wanted to start an online business for a long time, and I tried several different niches and I tried different strategies, but nothing seemed to work. And finally, I got with a coach who made me understand how much mindset really meant. If you had asked me before, I would have said, yes, mindset is important, but I never really thought about what is a mindset. But I began to see that mine was not that good, and I needed to do something about it. And his way dealing with mindset, it helped, but it really didn't get rid of the negative beliefs that I had. And so I started looking for something that would do that. And when I found it, I was so impressed that I decided this was what I wanted to do. So that's why I became a certified neuro coach, was that I could help women not just affirm what they want, but also destroy what they don't want in terms of their beliefs and their limiting thoughts.
Would you say that's the biggest difference between a neuro coach versus any other coach, really? It's just
that, and that it's based on science. It's a process that aligns with how the brain works in destroying and creating beliefs. So it works really well.
So you mentioned coaching. So in your opinion, from your own experience, how important is having a coach? For women that are going to listen to this, I could just make a general assumption that most of them know of coaches but don't work with a coach. So just from your own personal experience, not away from the bias that you are a coach, but like, how important has that been to you, having a coach and a mentor?
It's always been real important to me. I've always recognized that I certainly don't have all the answers, you know, whether it's in business or life or mindset, that I don't have all the answers. And so it's helpful to have someone who knows more than you do, but they also can look at your life from the outside and they're not blinded by the things that you don't even recognize that are problems that are going on.
And to see your blind spots. So you work with women over 40. How important is that for you? Like, why did you pick that niche? Like, why was it important to work with women 40 and beyond?
Well, it's important because, first of all, that's how old I was. I was well over 40 before I realized how important mindset was. And, you know, when you're over 40, you recognize you've got more baggage, you've got more going on. And a lot of it is because you've dealt with those limiting beliefs all your life. You've bumped up against them. Maybe you feel just really frustrated and or maybe even in despair that you can't do what you've dreamed of doing. It's just not possible. And it's not that it's not possible. It's that you don't subconsciously believe that it's possible. And that's what you need to clear out.
I love that because we put such an attachment to a number. And, you know, you see all these incredible women that are doing incredible things way beyond even 40, even into their 50s and 60s. So that just really asserts the fact that age really has no relevance.
I hope not, since I'm 67.
Oh, my God, are you really?
Yes, I am.
That's incredible. Everyone can see Dee, but Dee does not look anywhere near 67. But it's not even just your looks, just your energy. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? I love that. You just have this like very young outlook on life.
Well, if you don't, then you'll be like you're 67, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to do that.
I think it was Arlene Dickinson. I'm not sure if you know, she's a Canadian entrepreneur, like really well-known Canadian entrepreneur. She just put a Facebook post yesterday saying that, I think, I don't know if she was 62, but somewhere in her early 60s. And she said that for the first time this year, she's feeling it. So we had mentioned, and you had just mentioned again, that women in their 40s, obviously, you know, they have more life to them than a millennial or somebody in their 30s. So like you had just asserted too, they carry more baggage, they have more experiences that are setting them back. Can you just give us just a sneak peek on what that looks like into like how you work with your clients to really work through these limiting beliefs with them and really set them up for their new chapter in their life?
Yeah, they are getting to a point where, you know, the kids are grown or they're getting to the space where they're going to be out of the house before too much longer. And so women start thinking about, okay, what can I do? There is life beyond children. There is life beyond this 9-to-5 job that I've been working. And maybe I want to do something different with it. Maybe I want to be my own boss. You know, I've got skills and passions that I'd love to pass on, but maybe they doubt themselves. They procrastinate, feel like everything has to be perfect before they can do something. They have to be perfect, or what they put out has to be perfect. And just all of these things that are the brain's way of telling you, don't go there. We don't know if that's safe or not. Stay here where it's safe. The brain doesn't care if you're happy or successful or fulfilled. The brain just wants you to stay safe and familiar.
Totally. That's pretty much the ego, right? It just wants to keep you safe. So let's talk for a second about limiting beliefs, or just continue the conversation. You had said that learning how beliefs are formed made a big impact on your life. Can you just expand on this for a little bit?
Well, when you think about how they're formed, the way a belief is formed is you take a thought and you marry it with an emotion. And almost every thought has an emotion that goes with it. And if you repeat that thought and that emotion enough times over and over, you're going to get a limiting, not necessarily a limiting belief, but you're going to get a belief. And that belief, once it becomes a belief, runs in your subconscious. And it goes down there, and it really, we don't realize it, but the part of our brain, everything that's running there in our subconscious, it makes 80 to 90% of all the decisions we make every day. Everything from, you know, what am I going to have for dinner to how am I going to do this Facebook Live, or am I going to do this Facebook Live? Everything is, so much of it is run in our subconscious based on those beliefs. And those beliefs are formed because, especially as children, where most of our beliefs are formed, we're looking for several things. We're either looking for love, we're looking to be enough, or we're looking for safety. And so everything that we do, we monitor the reaction of those caregivers, you know, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever. We monitor their reaction and we conform our behavior to that reaction to try and maximize either love or safety or to be enough. And so if we can't somehow reach the standards, then maybe, you know, if my parent seems to love me more when I don't talk, then maybe I'll believe it's better if I don't talk, which maybe might be, you know, a safer thing for me at that point in my life. But later in life, I need to talk and I need to express myself and say who I am. And so it becomes a limiting belief.
I love that, because so many women are not speaking their truth, whether it's just living on purpose, whether it's like being stuck in a relationship that's not serving them, whether it's like, you know, living up to what they want financially. It's just living within that comfort zone and just not really speaking their truth. So good for you for empowering women to do that. People are going to be listening to this. It's still going to be relatively early in the year. And, you know, this is a time of the year we're talking about goals and visions and, you know, how they want their year to manifest. So in terms of vision, people make their vision boards and all that kind of thing, right? So what are a couple tips that you would give people to really make that vision a reality? Like, this is the year that their vision is going to be a reality.
Okay, I would say one thing would be to, when you set your vision, kind of go back and look at your other visions. Do you find you're setting the same goals and having the same dreams or visions? Because if you are, that's an indication, not that you're a failure, but that you're running up against some kind of limiting belief that is holding you back. And we're not responsible for those limiting beliefs. Like I said, they happen when we're children. We don't sit down and say, well, will this not speaking feelings making me feel safe, will that serve me later in my life? We don't have the critical ability to look at the beliefs that we're forming. So it's not our fault. It's not a failure of ours in any way. But look and see, are you doing the same goals? Have you tried different coaches, different strategies, different tactics, like I did, different niches, all of that kind of thing, and none of it's working? And the problem is, it's your brain trying to keep you safe. So I would recognize, first of all, that there's a problem in your subconscious that you can clear out and move on to new dreams and goals and visions. Second, I would say, look at your values. You know, if you've got a big dream for your business, does that dream include working 14 hours a day, 7 days a week? If not, then what are you going to have to put in place to make sure that your time is protected? Are you going to have to build a team? You know, what are you going to have to do? Pull in VAs temporarily before you get to permanent hires? What are you going to do? But you need to make sure you say, well, what do I value in life? So that when you get what you want financially, you haven't given away all those other things that you value in life also, time or, you know, family, friends, whatever, travel, whatever it is. So I would say those are two things to really consider when you set goals.
I love that, because most people wait until they've reached a certain point, if we're going to talk about people in business, to like hire a VA or, you know, whatever that looks like, a graphic designer, whatever they do to just even just save up 3 hours of their time. And just, but it's more just getting in that role now that, you know, you have that big enough business that you need that help and that kind of thing. I want to talk, because everybody can see, but every time I talk to you, you have your goals in the background with the little post-it notes, and I love it. This is obviously your home office. So everyone, Dee has, she's in her home office every time I speak to her, and she has like these little post-it notes. So I wanted to just take a little sneak peek on how you separate your goals. I think this is where a lot of people hit blocks, because I think they either get attached to a date or they get attached to like a specific number, and that creates a lot of blocks. So if you could, if you don't mind giving us a sneak exclusive look, just how you break down your goals.
Okay. I break down into various sections, you know, various parts of my life. But what I've got behind me is all my business goals. So I set goals for business, and then I say, okay, if there was one goal I could reach, and, you know, Michael Hyatt does this, Shannon Irvin does this, or some aspect of it. If there's some goal that I could reach, it would just make the other goals so much easier or not even necessary to accomplish because they would happen. What would that be? So for me, when I look at this, I see how many clients I want by the end of the year. So I start counting clients and I say, okay, what have I got to do to get that many clients? I've got to have this many launches. So I've got my launches laid out. I do launches through my Facebook group. So I've got to grow my Facebook group. How am I going to do that? I've got a hire that I want to make and then train. So those are some of the goals that I've got up behind me.
I love that. I'm in your Facebook group and you do dedicate a lot of time to that. And I know that takes a lot of time. So I have to congratulate you on that, because that's not, you know, when you're working with clients and showing up on other platforms and really like nurturing a Facebook group and building that community takes time. So good for you. I want to ask you about, you mentioned those are your business goals. What would you say to a woman that's going to listen to this and be like, well, how do I like manage my business goals and my personal goals and make time for my partner, my children? Usually women, you know, that late season of their life, they have multiple people that they're taking care of. What is one way, or how do you manage? Even you may have, you know, older children and that kind of thing, just your partner, I'm sure, you know, wants his time as well.
I think that one thing you've got to realize, and I've heard several people say this, and I believe this, that a life balance is a myth, because our lives shouldn't be in different buckets. They should all harmonize together. And of course, you know, depending on your situation, if you don't get a lot of support at home or whatever, it's hard to harmonize that with your business, but to the best of your ability to try and harmonize everything. And if that means that at the beginning of your business, you only spend a few hours on it, so that it doesn't take away from everything else. I think we don't realize how much we can get done in a few hours. And if we use it wisely and we go after activities that are income producing activities, whether that's content or consult calls or, you know, whatever that is, live streaming, whatever our kind of platform is, reaching out to people in our business sphere, if we focus on those activities, then we're going to move forward a lot more quickly than we think is really possible. So don't say, oh, all I've got is an hour a day or 2 hours a day. Look for the most important income producing activities, work on those, and you'll get a lot further than you think you will.
And I always say start your distractions. Like today, this morning before I turned on my phone, I did like an hour of just like concentrated work that, you know, for a lot of us, we work off our phone. So you need that aspect of it. But this, I didn't need my phone for at all. So I just didn't even turn my phone on and just like spend the hour on my laptop. And there's no way you can get that concentrated focus when you have, you know, your phone and your TV and all that kind of thing. So I think that's important as well. In your Facebook group, you had asked the question, you had posed the question to your community if they were having external or internal conflicts. So if somebody's going to listen to it and be like, well, what's the difference? I don't know if my conflicts are external or internal, if I'm having both. Can you just break that down a little bit for our listeners?
Sure. I was interested in, that was a post that I did that seemed to get more response. And people, you know, some said external, of course, and some said internal, of course. The thing is, you know, the external challenges come at us from mainly the outside. We don't decide that those things are going to come. They're just there and we have to deal with them. But the point I wanted to make is how we accept or reject those challenges is based on what we believe about them. If I believe that, say, for instance, my mom can't get, you know, along on her own and she needs to move in with me, how am I going to think about that? Because remember, a belief is a thought plus an emotion. If I think about that and I say, oh my gosh, you know, this is going to take up so much time, I know this is something I have to do, then I'm going to react to that external challenge differently than I am if I say, yes, it's going to be difficult, it's going to take up time, but I get to pay her back for all the love she's shown me. I get to get know her in a way I've never known her before, because we can relate as adults instead of, you know, mother, daughter. And so whether your challenge is external or whether your challenge is internal, and many times those internal challenges are things like self-doubt or fear or anxiety or that kind of thing, they all connect back into your belief system and how that helps or hinders you from dealing with what it is that's going on in your life.
I love that. It's such a pleasant example, but I think it's such a great example because, you know, we live in a very trying time. So I think for a lot of people, they take in, you know, all that news and all that energy, and it's hard for them to disassociate that from what they're going on in their lives. So as we come to an end, is there anything, I always ask my guests if there's anything that they're just resonating with, that they're feeling called to share to the listeners. One last thought.
I think I would like to just iterate one more time again that if you feel like it's your fault because you haven't gotten to where you want to get, I have people saying their roadblocks are like procrastination. They even call it laziness or, you know, fear and anxiety. Don't blame yourself. That is not something you have any control over, except you can control whether or not you get rid of that. It's a matter of learning how. So don't think to yourself, I'm stupid. Why can't I do this? What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. You're like 100% of the rest of humanity. You've got limiting beliefs. They're blocking your path, but there's nothing wrong with you.
What would you say to a woman that's going to listen and they're like in their 40s, 50s, and 60s and beyond, and they have the limiting belief that, you know, their time has come and gone at this point? You know, let's say, for example, because you work with a lot of entrepreneurs, let's just say they wanted to start that business and they're thinking, well, at this point in my life, why would I do that? And, you know, like I said, my time has come and gone. What would be your one message? Because you said you were like late into your 40s when you kind of made that career change and decided that you want to serve people in this type of platform. So what would be, from your experience or your thought process to them?
I would say, you know, you've got a choice. You can start a business and reach your dreams and be somewhere really different 2, 5, 10 years from now. Or you cannot do it and 2, 5, or 10 years from now be bored out of your skull and say, why didn't I start that when I was younger, when I was whatever age where I thought I was too old? Don't think you're too old. You're not too old. Not at all.
You're such a lovely woman. Can you just let us know where we can find you on the social media platforms and let us know what you have coming up for the rest of the year?
You can find me in my Facebook group. It's called Reset Your Mindset. So I'm always there. And I have, in fact, starting next Monday, I have a launch on the 18th that I'm doing a masterclass I'm teaching. There's that going on, but I always have something going on in my Facebook group.
How often do you do an event in there? Because I see you very often.
I do it about every 6 to 7 weeks.
Okay. Can you give us a little peek into some of the things you have coming up?
My master classes, which are my launches every 6 to 7 weeks. And then there's another Facebook group that I go into, and about once every month or two, I also have like a workshop in the evenings. So I just do various things like that.
I love being part of the group, by the way. So I'm excited for everyone to join that group and really learn from you this year.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Remember to share this episode with a goddess that is ready to rise.